Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Welcome to Food 360, the podcast that serves up some serious food for thought. I'm your host, Mark Murphy. Today, it's my pleasure to have my friend, fellow chef, and TV personality, David Rose. Welcome to Food 360.
Hey, my pleasure. Let's do it.
David, I got to tell you, this is a real pleasure to see you. I mean, I wish I could give you a big hug, but I can't because, you know, we're on
virtual
we're
hug.
We're a virtual hug. But I want to just in my mind go back to a time when I was hiking up this mountain in Arizona,
yes.
And I'm walking and climbing and crawling and whatever I'm doing, and all of a sudden I hear, "Hey, Mark Murphy!" And I look up and there you are, and you were hiking with other people that I knew, and I feel like I don't know if I had met you before or if it was like my brain just sort of froze, but I'm like, what is going on? Who is this guy? And it was like after you passed, I was like, oh yeah, that's David. And then we hung out all weekend at Bo Mack. He does this great event, and I'm excited to hopefully get back and do that again someday. I actually talked to Bo the other day. He's doing well at the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. It was such a beautiful weekend, and I got to tell you, those moments. I mean, I want to just hop maybe right into talking about food festivals because I think that's where you and I sort of came together. And met and our friendship bonded there, and it was a beautiful moment. I don't know if you remember
it really
the same
was,
way.
Man. Of course, it's like, you know, the heavens separated, the sun shined down on us, and it was a glorious moment. That was our first time meeting, you know, represented by the same management company. And man, you know, from the moment we said go and met on that mountaintop, man, he's just been an amazing person, awesome dude, great drinking buddy. We had an amazing time, awesome time that week. And it's just so much fun, a much simpler time, as you said before. And I'm just praying and hoping every day that we can get back to some semblance of that sense of community through food, through drinks. We had a couple drinks that week as well.
What?
A little more than a couple.
Did we?
And just having fun, man. You know, to me, that's what really makes it the most fun to me is the sense of community, meeting new friends, reuniting with old friends, and just spreading love and positivity through food. And nothing like a food and wine festival can do that. And it just breaks my heart. You know, all these food and wine festivals for the foreseeable future look to be, you know, kind of tabled and canceled as of now. So hopefully we can get back to those times because I enjoyed them and looking forward to making new memories, especially with you, my friend.
I totally get it. And you know, Lee Schrager's actually, he's sort of taken this, he's still doing things and raising money and doing things for the food festivals sort of virtually. I'm doing a dinner next week where I cook and 300 people are Zooming in and we're working together.
Love it.
And I mean, look, I love the effort and I love these things are happening, but it's like one of those things that I want to just be like, hey, I want to, you know, I don't want to do that the rest of my life. I want to do it the way we used to do it, where I can actually see you and meet the public that loves us on the shows.
Yes.
But let's get to your background, first of all. So you come from a large Jamaican family that grew up in New Jersey. Now, and if I know this correctly, you're the baby, right?
I'm the youngest of eight. Yes, I'm the baby.
I see. So what was that like? Well, sir, what was it like growing up as with eight kids in the family? I mean, and you were the youngest one. How'd you get any food? I mean, you had to like fight for it or what?
Man, it was rough, man. Pretty much, you know, it was a situation where when mom says dinner's ready, you better have your butt down there ASAP, because with eight kids, food ain't lasting long. So she'd, you know, kind of portion out our separate little, you know, portions of food according to size, appetite, age. But whoever got there early, you know, you might get that extra piece of chicken, that extra piece of steak, you know, transfer somebody's food from their plate to your plate. So you got to get in where you fit in.
So were you first in line? I could see you being like,
I was always first in line, man. I always had a big appetite. Always.
That is awesome. So, but your mother and your father were both chefs. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Mom and dad were both chefs. Mom was a chef at a nursing home in New Jersey, and dad was also an executive chef at a villa for nuns. So first things first, you know, Caribbeans, Jamaicans, as with anywhere, we have an insatiable appetite for food, an insatiable appetite for alcohol, white rum especially, and just the culture itself. I've always loved food, but amplify that by my parents both being chefs and kind of bringing me to work with them at a very young age, just kind of seeing from, you know, the raw product, the eggs, the milk, the bread, the bacon, and making these breakfasts, these lunches, these dinners from nothing, the creative process and the admiration they got from the people they cooked for just kind of planted a seed at a young age. I was like, you know what? This is pretty cool. I'm a Pisces, so I'm a creative type to begin with. And it just kind of planted at that young age, that love for food and the love that translates through food.
So what, I got to go back to this. I mean, I understand your mom was cooking in a nursing home. I can imagine I can sort of imagine what that's like. I never cooked in a nursing home, but now villa for nuns. What did the nuns eat? What were the nuns eating? And why was your dad cooking for nuns? Couldn't the nuns cook for themselves? I don't understand it.
Hey, you know what it is, you know, these villas have like, you know, upwards of, you know, 300 to 500 people that live there on site and, you know, at the church, the cathedral, and they're doing their nun thing, you know, they're praying, they're organizing fundraisers, they're hosting, you know, different nuns from overseas, Italy, France, Europe. So the last thing they have time for is to cook. So that's where dad comes in. He had his team and, you know, coming from Jamaica, in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, you kind of have to get in where you fit in. And both parents always loved to cook, but they actually came to America as immigrants from Jamaica and just kind of worked their way up the ladder. And, you know, cooking and chef positions, those are what kind of spoke out to them first, and naturally they kind of landed.
That's amazing. I love the immigrant stories and how people get themselves into a country like this and get there. And,
of course.
And, It was really a beautiful thing, and it happens through food, which is what we obviously do and love to do, and I think that's fantastic.
Exactly.
I mean, besides the love of cooking you got from your parents, but what did you see the difference in like that type of cooking and what you do now? I mean, you obviously, you said at a young age you moved down to Atlanta. Obviously that must have influenced you in a lot of ways. But your parents, I mean, how did all this sort of come together?
The synergy, man. I actually born and raised in New Jersey. Out of eight kids, the only one born and raised in New Jersey. So it just kind of dates back to these huge Thanksgivings, these huge Christmases, where my mom is also one of 13, and their kids have, you know, 5, 6 kids, and my dad is one of 10. And that whole tri-state area, as you know, is one big, diverse melting pot. And we'd have, you know, these Thanksgiving, Christmases, and 4th of July celebrations where it's upwards of 100 to 150 people. And it's huge potlucks where you have jerk chicken, you have curry goat, you have macaroni, you have 5 different kinds of rice and peas, you have baked chicken. You have just so much plentiful food, fried plantains, where, you know, we came to America, my family, and they always had that inherent love and educated themselves via grandparents of that food, and also kind of, you know, interjected, you know, American classic foods. So you have that. And then the tri-state area, where I was born in Inglewood, raised in Teaneck, and also went to school in Tenafly, where I've had friends from all walks of life, where I remember at 9 years old having Korean pancakes for the first time, having latkes and gefilte fish, having foie gras pate, where a good friend of mine, his mom was Italian and his dad was French, and they ran a bakery. So eating this foie gras, the pate, the gnocchi at 10, 11 years old, just tasting these flavors that obviously are an addition of, and aren't from Jamaica or indicative of Jamaican food, but tasting these very diverse international foods, I didn't know what the hell I was tasting, but I knew I loved it. I knew it tastes good. I never knew at 10 that fat and goose liver could be so delicious. So just that general curiosity of food and just the tri-state area. Fast forward 21 years old, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia at that point. And I'm kind of trying to figure out what I want to do. At that point, I've been an exercise science major and a physical therapist, trainer rather. Where a physical therapist and training has always been a huge love of me as far as fitness. And I've been a bartender, I've been a server, I've been a barback. I've worked every position in front of the house up until that moment. And I was trying to figure out my next move in life. I was sitting down at 21 and saw a commercial. I can remember it as clearly as yesterday. It said, Le Cordon Bleu, realize your culinary dreams. I don't know what it was, Mark, at that very moment. Something spoke to me and said, go to the campus, check it out, see what you think. And I was blown away by the courses, by the facility, by the kitchen, by the staff. And right there and then at 21, standing in that Le Cordon Bleu campus, I knew that I wanted to be a chef. And then from there, I enrolled in the program, graduated top of my class, never been a scholar. Nobody had ever called me a scholar ever, but graduated top of my class, summa cum laude, straight A's. And even though it's school per se, I didn't look at it as school. I looked at it as every day crafting and honing my skills for my purpose, for my career as a chef, where I learned proficiencies in ice carving, international cooking, sushi, baking, garde-manger, wine and beer knowledge. And just from there, it kind of took off, man. I just knew at that moment that being a chef in culinary was the life for me.
That's a beautiful story. And it's so funny because you talk about the beginning of your life, the influence from your parents, both being chefs, all the friendships you have, which is another beautiful story of immigrants coming to this country. And that a kid who was born in New Jersey, whose parents were from Jamaica, was hanging out with the people from France and Italy that had a bake shop. I mean, that to me is just a beautiful painting, right? But the funniest thing is this is how, you know, all of a sudden, your whole childhood, basically, from birth, you were basically trained to be a chef. And not until you're 21, you go, oh, wait, this is a job. I can do this. And I'm going to go to a school for it and kick some butt at school. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
I do want to get a little bit of information from you because right before you, we all got locked up because of this pandemic. Your Instagram was blowing up all over Europe. You took a trip of a lifetime, it looked like to me. You were in Italy.
Oh, man.
You went traveling, and the pictures you were posting, I almost had to stop following you because I was getting hungry. But
I'm glad you did it.
Watching that going down, I was like, so was that was that your first trip to Italy, or what is the experience from you having gone to culinary school, but all, and then just boom, being there?
Man, prior to that, my only experience of Europe in general was 12 years old in England, and prior to that, never been before then, and that's all I really knew. So, you know, I was like, you know what? Let me go to Europe. Let me check it out. I was celebrating my 38th birthday. So me and my girlfriend, we went to Europe on this cruise, MSC cruise, and we hit up Italy, Barcelona, Spain, different ports of Italy, actually, Civitavecchia. We went to Sicily. We went to, I believe, I'm forgetting the other one, but also we've been to Spain. We went to Malta and then wrapped back around to Spain as well. So seven different ports. And for me, you know, you read about these things in books, watch it on TV, and you just learn about the history. But to actually be in Spain, have authentic paella, to be in Italy, you know, and have authentic pasta, I can really say that going on this little Euro trip, it ruined forever domestic pasta and domestic paella. Because once you have the best, the authentic, it's really hard for the rest. So for me, it really tickled my culinary fancy bone, so to speak, where I'm able to actually be there, the birthplace of these huge, just, you know, dynamic, powerful foods that I've only had prior experience having it here in America, where I've had some really, really good pasta here in the States, really, really good paella. But till you have it in the birthplace of those cuisines and those dishes, you ain't doing it justice.
Well, really, it's also interesting that in the mind, you know, you could eat the exact same bowl of pasta sitting in Ventimiglia overlooking the Mediterranean. You could eat the same pasta in the basement of a building in New York City, and it could be the exact same ingredients, the exact same dish, but one is going to taste better. Let's put it that way, right?
Because
you got that whole thing. So I'm actually thinking we should call some of the people that represent us, because we obviously work with the same management company, and we get represented by the same people, because now obviously the food world has taken a little bit of a turn, and I want to get into your ambassadorship with Nissan, because I think that's a beautiful and an interesting thing. But I think that after this we should start writing a little show, because I know you're a motorcycle guy and I'm a motorcycle guy, and we should start at the top of Italy. We'll start all the way up north, right at the border. I speak Italian. We're going to do a show.
Perfect.
You and I riding our motorcycles all the way to the bottom of the boot, and we can eat the whole way. What do you think? You're in?
Matt, you had me at motorcycles.
Yeah.
You had me at motorcycles. I'm already in.
That would be a fun time. We could just bop around Europe and eat and drink. I love the idea. So after you were, I mean, so obviously your professional career, you went and did you work in a hotel for a little while?
I've done everything. My first job, I remember it specifically. I was 13 years old and I worked as a barback and busboy at the Radisson Hotel on Route 4 in Englewood, New Jersey, 13 years old. And I've just always been in hospitality since then.
Right. And have you been back to visit to your old first job?
Man, they actually knocked it down and made like two, three different hotels since then. So
okay, that was a while ago. But then you got onto the Food Network, and you were in season 13 of Next Food Network Star. Was that the one?
Yes, I was.
What was that? How did you get there? Well, what was that like? I've competed on Food Network, but I didn't compete to get on the food. I see that show and I'm always like jaw dropping. Where do you find all these characters? Where did they find you?
It was crazy, man. Well, as far as my foray into meeting Food Network, you mentioned motorcycles. Prior to that, you know, I did a national, international campaign with Harley Davidson back in 2010 to 13, where they were doing a really cool campaign that was called Iron Elite. And they were highlighting, you know, African-American riders from all over the world that ride Harley. So they made a really cool patch with me on it, a couple videos. So I was like, this is pretty cool. You know, I did a lot of traveling with that. I was like, I would love to combine my love and passion of motorcycles, which is awesome in itself, and my love and passion of food and just bring it together. So I started kind of going by the biker chef. And from there, I was like, you know what? I don't know anything about food. I don't know anything about TV, but I'm going to take a business loan out and I'm going to start capturing my own content. So I started hiring videographers and producers and just traveling the country, talking to bikers who cook and chefs who were bikers. And the initial concept title was Bikes and Bites, Motorcycles and Food. And I just started just put my own content on YouTube, Vimeo, Instagram, Facebook, and fast forward a couple years, 2 years doing that, not knowing what I was doing, except shooting some cool footage. I got the attention of a couple execs over at Food Network. They invited me in, started talking about some potential concepts that we could work on. And then from there, like, you know what? We love you. We like your style, what you're doing. You're different. You're unique. But our viewership does not know who you are. Would you mind doing Food Network Star? And I'm not going to lie, Mark, I didn't jump right on it because, you know, reality TV is reality, you know, TV. So I was like, you know what? This is something I want to do. I'm serious about doing this. So let's do it. And then from there, the rest is history, man.
Well, I got two things out of that. One, you're obviously a really hardworking guy and you love to create opportunities for yourself because it sounds like that's what you did. And the other thing that I got out of that was, I guess if we do that trip to Italy, we'll be on Harleys.
Well, I'm no longer contractually obligated to Harley, so
hey, you know,
do whatever you want, my friend.
Italians, I got to tell you, Italians love Harleys. They see you driving down the street in a Harley. I mean, I have a BMW myself, but you know, I can get behind any one of those things. And I will make
one request though. No Vespas. I'm too big for a Vespa. Yeah, I can't.
Well, you know, I have one of those too, but that's just for bopping around New York City. Let's put it that way. It's a 350. It does go fast, I'll tell you. But it is strange because when you're sitting on a Vespa doing 80 miles an hour, it's like you're sitting on a chair on the highway, and it's just not very comfortable.
It doesn't sound very comfortable, dude.
Not at all.
I'll let you have that.
So interesting. So this, obviously, this new world of chefs, you represent Nissan, this one truck, Titan. It's a very cool commercial where you're doing this. How did you get that gig? That is beautiful. I'm going to have to talk to Scott about that.
Man, I've been with Nissan for about, 2 years now. And the way it came about was Chef Corey Barr, he was actually on the same season of Food Network Star as I was. And he just started his relationship out, and they were kind of introducing this new concept vehicle. It was called the Smokin' Titan. And pretty much, you know what it is. It is a super cool, super decked out Titan truck where it's been outfitted with grills, a smoker, a full service kitchen on there. It has burners, it has sinks. And they were trying to kick it off with this really cool event called the Smokin' Titan Cook-Off, I believe, in Nashville, Tennessee, outside of Nashville, in the mountains. And essentially what it is, it was pairing Nissan employees against, you know, different media people. And it was a barbecue competition. So I came on as a judge from there. And you know me, I'm a people person, man. We started talking, we started drinking, we started eating. They're like, you know what, David? We want you as a part of this campaign. And then from there, we did some really cool events with the Smokin' Titan, where we drive around with it, we cook on it, we grill on it at different outdoor events, different media events, doing different types of social media and video content. And it's a great relationship. So very organic, which a lot of my opportunities are. But I'm all about networking. It's all about relationships. It's all about connections. It's all about that.
It is. And I love, I mean, obviously everybody, you can just tell from this conversation, you're a people person and you can see what you do and how you accept people and get them into your lives. But the organic things like that are much more sort of, they're big. I mean, I've had a few opportunities like that where somebody hears me talk on an interview about something, a product I like, and all of a sudden they call you like, you actually use that. It's like, this is, it's like good advertising in a certain sense because you're getting people that actually use those products to really do that.
Exactly.
So why did you, you said you moved to Atlanta earlier and you went to the Cordon Bleu down there, which is obviously, but you stayed down there and your whole family's in New Jersey, right? You got what, about 650 relatives in New Jersey and you're down in Atlanta.
750.
Are you just trying to skip on the family reunions? Why did you stay in Atlanta?
You know what's funny? What actually brought me down here was my cousin. He actually lived down here first. He was the first one out of our entire family, came to Morehouse, and then from there my older brother came down, and I came down in February of 2003. And I came down for my 21st birthday, and I was just blown away. Imagine single 21-year-old David, eyes wide open, the bars, the clubs, the restaurants, the women, and I just had a blast, man. This is back in Atlanta. It kind of resembled Bourbon Street in New Orleans, where you could walk around and just kind of, just bounce from bar to club, and I was just smitten, I was over New Jersey. I was like, I'm coming back. My cousin, my brother didn't believe me. Fast forward to June of the same year, I packed my little cherry red 98 Mustang up, brought all my stuff down, and haven't left since. Since then, sister came down, brother came down, cousins came down. So it's like we're building a second New Jersey right now down in Atlanta. Mom and dad are here also. And
really?
We love it, man. Yeah. Mom and dad's down here. They've been down here for about 4 years. They retired and moved down to Florida. And they're like, we miss the kids. We miss David. Let's move up to Atlanta. And been here for the last 4 years, but slowly but surely, family keeps coming on down. So it's a good portion, about 50 people strong right now, in Atlanta.
Wow, you like started the migration. That's the, you were
started the migration.
A big push to get everybody down there. Well, next time I'm in Atlanta, I'll be definitely coming to your house. I'm going to come by and I want to eat some of that good food you're making.
Let's do it.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com, Symbiotica.com.
Did you So you said you were a trainer. Physical fitness is something that obviously is something that's very, and if anybody's ever, obviously this is a podcast, you can't see him, but tell me, I mean, you stay very fit, but are you buying the shirt smaller to look bigger or like Robert Irvine?
No.
Or are you buying the fit? Cause you know, that's the way I see this is like, if you buy the shirt smaller,
man,
you look bigger, but you're a big guy and you stay really healthy. And I think, but that goes into some conversation, not just the funny part of it, but is you know, food and health. I mean, those things are directly related. The whole thing you can't trust a skinny chef is out the window now. You got to trust chefs that know how to feed you and feed you properly.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that you are obviously very, very attuned to, even though you do want to have your foie gras every once in a while.
Oh, of course, man. I really think it's about just moderation and just kind of eating for your body type, as opposed to omitting carbs or omitting protein or fats. It's all about moderation, man. Anything of too much is not good for you. And actually, I don't know if you noticed or not, I'm actually slimming down during quarantine, where I've been kind of watching the diet, watching the intake, and just kind of wanting to get more defined. So I've actually went down from 247 to right now I'm sitting at like 232, 231. I feel great, you know, and I'm more defined, so I like that aesthetic, and I feel healthier. So it's all about just kind of doing what works for you, not looking at a magazine on the internet and just kind of click, copy, and pasting what's on there, but experimenting, but also, you know, not going too far left where you kind of have a robust appetite where you're eating pasta and fried chicken and, you know, pizzas and all that. And like, you know what? This is on the Monday. On Friday, all salad and fruit. That's going to set you up for what we call an okey-doke, or you're setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
So just, you know, gradually introducing just healthier lifestyle, where as opposed to, you know, the 5 to 6 slices of pizza, maybe just 1 or 2, you know?
Well, it's all about moderation. You're absolutely right. So when you're going to go have the paella, but that's the thing in Europe, I feel like you eat at the meal times and you're eating much better food, and it just feels, it feels healthier. Well, but let's talk about cooking during quarantine time, because I got to say, I'm living in a house with, there's 6 of us, and we've been here for about 2 months, and I'm basically, I feel like I work in a restaurant with a 6 top every night.
But for York.
But it's actually, it's sort of, you know, it's what I love to do anyway. So I feel like I'm very lucky, because I feel like I'm not bored. I'm planning meals. I'm doing things. And it's fun. Cooking's fun. Let's not, you know, we love doing it. We love creating things. And then the challenges. So what's it been like for you cooking in quarantine? Obviously, cooking for yourself and your body and making yourself feel better is important. And I think that's obviously, you know, you can see that. But I've actually as well during quarantine have lost a little bit of weight, because I'm just, I feel like I'm trying to eat healthy and you know, keeping myself busy. But what's it been like for you cooking, actually? What have you been making?
First off, I do see that new vein right there in your arm. So kudos to you on that, dude. I definitely see the progression. But man, I'm just like you. You know, me and my siblings and my parents, we all live about in a 10-mile radius. So heaven forbid I post something on Instagram or Facebook, I'll know within 2 to 3 minutes of that post, when can I come over? That looked good. What is that? So when will you be over at our house with the food? So, you know, whatever I make is not just for me. It's definitely for them also. And, you know, I'm a big person for always looking and finding the silver lining in any situation. So as crazy and as messed up and as off kilter what we're going on right now, I definitely try to make it a positive. And what I've been doing is staying really busy with different recipe creations, trying new recipes, doing different variations, and just, I'm a creator. I love creating, and it's really allowed me to even fall deeper in love with food, getting super creative and just trying new things out, where I might not be able to, you know, touch hands and be out there as Food and Wine events or be on, you know, GMA or Today Show or you on Food Network. We're able to kind of, you know, be there with people, but through social media, through the Instagram Live, through the Facebook, through the stories, I'm still able to get that engagement and, you know, share that excitement and positivity through food. So I'm cooking 4 or 5 meals a day over here, and I'm loving it. As you know, you said before, the kitchen really is my asylum. It's my happy place where I might not be able to control what's in Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, or even Atlanta, Georgia, but what happens in my kitchen is something I create with these two things right here, these two hands, and I love it, and it gives me a sense of peace, calm, and tranquility, and good-ass food.
There is something to cooking and just putting on some tunes and relaxing and just getting involved in it. And I find, and I'm sure that it must be, my classical French training, I worked in Paris, I worked in all these different places in fancy restaurants and stuff, but it must be funny. Do your parents, who were then obviously cooking for 300 nuns or a lot of people in homes, and then you went to cooking school where they probably taught you to cut all the carrots exactly the same size, like little soldiers, right? Yeah. Your parents, I have friends of mine that sometimes when I'm just like down in the kitchen, like I'm like doing things like that, people walk by the kitchen and I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he making every carrot the exact same size, look the same? Like, that's not what carrot. And do you find yourself sometimes you're like, oh, okay, I got to bring it back a bit, because they'd go a little too French and too honed in like that. It's kind of funny.
It is, man. It's crazy because even now, even though I'm cooking for myself and my family, and you know, I still focus on presentation, man. Yeah. Like, you know, I have that drilled in my psyche in my training where, you know, people, you eat with your eyes first. The food, first and foremost, has to taste good, but it also has to look appetizing and be beautifully plated. So I find myself making breakfast, you know, a couple of poached eggs, some wheat toast and fruit, and I'm like putting garnishes and like little, you know, mint leaves and like little a mousse bouche on the side of like quinoa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I doing? This is just for me. But I wouldn't trade it for the world, because, you know, that's the pride you have as a classically trained chef, or even removing, you know, culinary school, just, you know, being in a great restaurant, having great mentors, where some of the greatest chefs I know have just kind of cut their teeth in restaurants. It's just that sense of refinement, that sense of, you know, quality presentation, and just having that pride in the plated dish, whether it's for you or 100 people.
And you see it in a lot of chefs right now. They're cooking at home just for their families, but they're just putting stuff up. I don't know. One of my favorite, two people that I've been really love following right now have been Danielle Boulud and Eric Repair, who are obviously very classically French trained chefs, but watching them cook for their families has always been sort of, it's so interesting. Who have you been liking on Instagram recently that you've been watching?
Man, honestly, I'm not just saying that because I'm talking to you right now. You're one of my favorites because, like, you're like me. You're a lively, engaging, fun-loving dude, and that comes through on your food. So you're one of them. Scott Cohen, it's a good dude. I like watching his stuff. And Carla Hall, another person, just super engaging, super over the top, super great personality. So you three, I've been watching a lot, man. You guys are awesome.
Some great people. And let's, you know, I want to just finish up on another other things that I know that you're very enthusiastic about. And I've dibbled and dabbled in it, and I'm trying to get into it a little bit more. But cigars, this is something that you're passionate about, and I love a good cigar. And actually, at one time, I asked my doctor. This is a while ago, and he knows my lifestyle. Yeah. I'm always going 110 miles an hour trying to do a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know, so what do you think about cigars? And he goes, for you, Mark, if you can actually sit down and stop for like the 20 minutes or half hour it takes to smoke a cigar, the negative benefits of smoking are going to be positive by you actually just chilling for a minute. So I've been trying to do that once or twice a week. I'm going out and sitting in a chair, reading a book and smoking a cigar, having a cup of tea. And you're into those too, right?
Yeah, I'm usually into those. Man, is everything, you know, everything in moderation, you'll be okay. I'm not going to smoke, you know, five cigars back to back to back Monday through Sunday, although sometimes I'd like to, but, you know, I'll do maybe one or two every week. And just to me, the stress is far deadlier than the actual cigar itself. You know, stress is a killer, man. So if I can take that 30 to 40 minutes, an hour sometimes, get me a nice, you know, bourbon, a nice scotch, glass of red wine, and just sit on my patio and just kind of watch the stillness of life and enjoy that cigar, it'll save me from a lot more stuff where something might be pressing on my mind in my life, where I can just sit down, smoke that cigar. Same thing with motorcycles. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than a therapist. And, you know, it's something that I actually enjoy doing. So with cigars, it dates back to, I think I was 20, 21. Again, that same trip coming down to Atlanta. We went to Miami. And I think that's where my love of cigars was kind of born. Me and my cousin, just enjoying my 21st in Miami on the Strip, smoking some Cubans. And ever since then, I've always kind of looked at cigar as the fourth course. You have your appetizer, your salad, you have your entree, you have your dessert, and then you have your cigar, to where you know you've had now your meal, you're letting the meal digest, you're having a nice aperitif, grappa, sambuca, Campari on ice, whatever you have, and just enjoying that cigar and allowing the meal to just do its thing and just relaxing and taking the whole experience down, so much so that I brought cigars now into my culinary point of view and career, where I started, I think about 8 years ago, an event I branded as TLC. TLC stands for Tastings, Libations, and Cigars, where I've paired with different alcohol companies, different cigar companies, and different food companies, where the cigar is the star and the highlighting platform of the entire meal. So you have the cigar, and from there, I break down the flavor composition of the cigar and then base every single course of the food on that. I did that for a while and actually, you know, became friends with the folks over at Davidoff and Camacho, and going on now 4 years, I do events for them and video and social media content for Camacho, where I'm now an international brand ambassador for them, and do the same thing I've been doing for years now on a bigger international level. And it's again, speaking back to those organic relationships, if you have love for something and are doing it for pure reasons out of just money, of course you need money, that's obvious, but the passion and true love for it, eventually you'll, you know, gain the recognition and attention of, you know, the right people, and the right relationships are formed because it's something I truly enjoy doing, and it's organic when I talk about it or do something. So you could say I like cigars a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so. No, you definitely, you painted that picture for me, but you know, it is true that it is true that you have a, you know, I think the world's like that. If you find something you're passionate about, you love it, it's going to give it back to you. It's like good karma.
Exactly.
And I found it with cooking, where I just fell in love with cooking.
Yes.
I didn't make much money when I started cooking, but then as the years go on, you just do it for the love of it. Then the money comes later. And then it's sort of the same thing. You're talking about like organic relationships with different companies or different products or different venues.
Yeah.
And I love your sort of glass half full look on life. And I think there should be more people like you out there in the world and looking at the world that way. Cause it is, you know, we should all be trying to have fun while we're going through this, our time here on this planet. So it's been great. But listen, man, I'm so happy that I finally got to have you on my podcast. Thank you so much. And all the success in the world. I don't have to wish that on you because you're doing a fine job of it on your own. And listen, I'd love to, maybe we could do one of those cigar dinners together one day when things open up. I got a place downtown in Tribeca in New York. We could do a little cigar dinner there, or hell, maybe I'll get on my motorcycle, come down and meet you down there. We'll do it there.
Man, I would absolutely love that. And thank you so much for having on me, man. Having me on the show, I really appreciate it. I know it's been a while since I've seen you, I think, Greenwich. But even though, you know, it's virtual, it's great to see your smiling face and be talking to you. And cigars, motorcycles, all of that, I'm down for the trip in Italy where we're riding. I'm down for the cigar dinner in Tribeca. Let's do it, man.
I didn't realize before I started looking into you and really, like, I mean, I knew you and this and that, but, you know, we have a lot more in common than I thought. Now we got cigars, we got motorcycles. This is great. Another friendship flourishing. This is what's happening here.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks so much for being here, brother.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.